Welcome to Prompting Curiosity, a podcast for the AI curious. No coding background required. I'm your host, Dr. Shantae Cofield, also known as the Maestro, and I created this show to explore what these AI tools actually are.
Really, though, are the files in the computer?
How to use them, and what they might mean for how we think, work, create, and move through life. Whether you're skeptical, intrigued, or already experimenting, you're in the right place. All that I ask is that you stay curious. All right, let's get into it. Hello, my curious people, and welcome to episode 39 of Prompting Curiosity. I am your grateful host, the Maestro, and today we are talking about Claude in Chrome. I know, folks, it feels like we cannot escape AI, right? AI, everything is powered by AI and fueled by protein or packed with protein. Like, I get it. It's fucking everywhere. And a lot of the times we're like, I don't want it. I just like want it to be normal. I totally get that. But I do think this is a time where maybe you're going to be happy that AI is there. Hence why I titled this episode, Claude in Chrome, Your Browser Just Got a Helpful Roommate. So Claude actually told me about Claude in Chrome like 2 weeks ago, and I've been wanting to make an episode about it, but I also wanted to make the episodes about the dope stuff that I've been building, the dashboard and the automation. So here we are finally talking about this dope extension. So real quick, before we hop on into that, we are up to 27 ratings, folks. I think we've been kind of steady there, but we got a new review from LaBarbecue. I think that's how you pronounce that. You know who you are. Thank you. I promise you, folks, I read every single one. I read them multiple times because they make me feel good. So thank you if you have left a rating. Thank you. Big thank you if you have left a review. I know we have some over on Spotify as well. I don't like listen to stuff on Spotify, but I know we got some over there. So thank you if you've dropped them over there. I think we have like 7 over there. So just thank you. Like, it is really awesome to me that I put stuff out and y'all listen and then you rate it and you write back. So just thank you. So back to the episode, moving back into the main topic of the episode, Claude in Chrome. As per always, my goal is just to keep your curious minds informed and up to date. Whether or not you use the things that I throw out there, that is 100% up to you, right? And that is where we're, you know, prefacing this discussion today about Claude in Chrome. So Claude in Chrome, what is it? It is a Chrome browser extension that lets Claude see your browser and take actions on your behalf. So for those of you wondering, a browser extension is simply a small add-on program that you install and you install it into your browser and it gives it extra functionality. This particular extension lets Claude do things for you in said browser. So maybe that sounds a bit sus at first. You're like, do I want that? What? But I've honestly found it to be awesome, which is why I'm making this episode. Honestly, you know, I'm also not sure if folks even know about it. I didn't know about it. And I like am all up in this shit and I didn't really know about it. So that's why I'm like, hey, let me make an episode and like bring some attention to it, because I think it actually is a very cool thing. You know, we had OpenAI made Atlas, and I did an episode on that. And that is they made their whole entire browser. And so it's like another step, right? And there's a friction point. And from a marketing perspective, you're like, okay, well, I see what that isn't. It's good in theory, but there's too much friction. Whereas this, it just integrates directly into your browser, right? And honestly, I'm on board with it. I am absolutely on board. So apparently, folks, Claude in Chrome first launched to 1,000 max plan subscribers. So 1,000 people who had that max plan in August of 2025, which is actually when I started this podcast. So, but I had no idea. I wasn't using Claude and I had no idea. Also, I would not have been a max plan user anyway. It was then expanded to all max plan subscribers in November of 2025. And then the following month, December of 2025, it was opened to all paying plans. I had no idea. So I have Pro. It's open to people who have Pro, people who have Team, people who have Enterprise. Right? And it's currently in beta. So beta apparently just means that it works. People are using it productively. But if you're using it, you're likely an early adopter. And you know, weird behavior should be expected and reported, you know, reported if you're into that kind of stuff. You like reporting things, but it seems like it's a kind of, I don't want to say it's like a cover your ass type of thing from Anthropic, but like, I don't know, it works, but it means that they're kind of developing it. And so there can be bugs and things like that. So it's like a get out of jail free kind of card, right? By calling it beta. So the tech behind how it works is, in my opinion, outside of the scope of this podcast, aka I don't think you're going to care. But for my few techies in the crowd, suffice to say that Claude is reading what's called the DOM, the DOM. That's a document object model. If you know what that is, you know what that is. If you don't worry about it. And then it's executing JavaScript commands to trigger the action. In this case, the action would be something like clicking a button. Right. So if we pivot back to regular people speak, what I want you to take away from that convoluted description that I just gave you, explanation I just gave you, is that last part where I said it can click a button. Right. Claude, I know it sounds so trite and you're just like, it clicks a button, big fucking whoop. But it can click buttons. It can fill out forms, right? And input lines. It can do things on the screen and you literally watch the cursor move around and you watch it click things. It can do it. If you've ever had someone like take over your computer, but when you're forgetting like any kind of service, it's just like that. Again, maybe it doesn't sound like much, but I want you to think about any super annoying repetitive task that involves something like inputting text over and over again into fields on a page or like repeatedly clicking buttons to execute an action, right? And my guess is that you probably can't think of a million things like that, but when you do think of something, Claude in Chrome will shine. It will come to your rescue. I personally first used Claude in Chrome to have it change metadata for my blog and my podcast pages because I moved everything over and switched things. Sorry about that whistle. I moved things over and switched things. And this is like 25 plus posts for each for the blog. And I'm on episode 39 right now. And so I had to do this for all of them. And it was just so much like click this and put this here. Claude did it for me. Claude in Chrome, I watched it. It clicked through the things. Incredible. So a little backstory there on how I even learned that Claude in Chrome existed. So like I was saying, I just did this, you know, you all know, I did this big rebrand for the podcast that required a domain change for the podcast. And because of the domain change, right, you get these little email alerts from Google. And it's like, hey, these pages aren't being indexed. And I was like, I don't really even know what the fuck that means. So like, I kind of know because of Lex, but like, I don't like fully know. So I was all up in Google console looking to see what had switched over, you know, what Google was seeing, what was being indexed, what wasn't. And again, I don't really know it that well, but you know who does know it really well? Claude. So I'm going through this and asking questions and like doing things back and forth. And at one point Claude was just like, if you've got the Claude in Chrome extension, I can just open Search Console and tell you exactly what I'm seeing. And I was like, excuse me? You could do what? And it was like, yeah, I just like take you through everything. And I was like, immediately, yes. I didn't even know that the extension existed beyond a few conversations that I have with my very techie, I'm going to call him techie. He's me, but like a year ahead. My friend Kay. And he was talking about Claude in Chrome and a bunch. And I was like, I don't really know what you're talking about. And I don't really understand the utility of this. So like, I'm going to like put it in the back of my brain. Like I heard it, cool. But like, I don't really know any use case for this. And then one popped up and I was like, yo, this thing is fucking dope. So Claude walked me through how to get the plugin installed. You do need to be on a paid Claude plan in order to use it. And from there, there's two ways to install it. You can install it through the Claude desktop. Through Claude Desktop, which is how I did it. And that's via the connectors tab. It's in settings. Or you can go to the Chrome Web Store. No idea what the fuck that is. I don't know what that is. Maybe as I'm saying that, maybe I'm like, maybe I do actually because I have gone through it for Drive. But either way, you can go to the Chrome Web Store. You can search Claude in Chrome and then install via that. So what I'm going to do for you folks is I'm going to link the Claude support article that talks all about Claude in Chrome. I'll link that in the show notes. You can go check that out. I'll walk you through it. But back to what it can do, right? Claude in Chrome. If you can interact with something or do something via your browser, that means that Claude can probably do it as well, whatever that thing is. There are a few exceptions. The exceptions would be login walls, CAPTCHAs, some JavaScript heavy sites. It does need permission. It does need you to grant permission to things, and it cannot log into things on your behalf, and it can't like get past logins. But it will ask you to like log in. It will ask you to go do the things that it needs you to do. It'll tell you, and it'll tell you you can navigate it to one of two ways. You can there will be a sidebar that pops out on the screen that you're looking at. If you're using Claude for Chrome, it's literally a Claude for Chrome sidebar on the page that you're interacting with. Or if you're inside of Claude Desktop, you can talk to it from there. So you have options. But the TLDR, and like why I want you to this, why I'm excited about it. Right? If you want to get excited about it, amazing. But why I'm excited about it is that if you are navigating a website or a web page or anything via your Chrome browser, that means that you can have Claude look at that page and interact with that page and take action on your behalf on that page. I know that as I'm saying it, you're like, I have no use cases. Totally fine. I say these things so that if and when that day comes, you're like, hey, maybe what about? All right. I know that this continues to come off like the rest of the backwards AI LLM marketing, which is that instead of a, you know, the company building a solution for the problems that their customers have, they all said, here's a solution, go find a problem. I realize that. Right. And I realize that for this entire episode, you're probably like, what the fuck would I even use this for? I get it. That was me. That was me listening to my friend Kay rave about it. And so I'm not here trying to convince you. I am here just wanting to expose you to it so that if and when something pops up, you're like, oh, wow. All right, because that was me. I had a use case for it and then I saw the light. And then I was working with Lex and she needed to do I think it was like geotagging kind of thing, or I don't know, some sort of tagging of these pictures. And it was just like, copy this, like over and over and over again. And I was like, dude, have Claude in Chrome do it. And she was like, what's that? It will do it, right? And you can actually take a screen recording so that you can train Claude on what to do. Or you can, like, you know, give it the normal prompt. It's incredible. It is incredible. Yes, as per always, safety is a concern / something to think about, right? But real talk, folks, I definitely find myself getting to a point where I'm kind of like, YOLO. I'm gonna just fucking say yes to everything because, you know, the benefits to be gained, in my opinion, justify the risks that are taken. But as always, use your own discretion, right? All right, one quick update before I move into the final section, which is our typical how I used AI this week section. And this actually ties into this idea of, you know, safety and your own discretion, kind of why I'm like, YOLO. Like, if these hackers and the powers that be want something, they're going to get it because they got all the power. And I say this because on April 7th, Anthropic released a new model called Mythos. It is reported to be a significant jump, like stepwise. There's a name I can't remember, but either way, significant jump in capability via stronger reasoning and better coding, and its cybersecurity capabilities specifically are so far ahead of everything else that Anthropic has put out that it decided to not release this model publicly yet. Translation, the model is too capable to ship. It's too strong, too powerful. The sandwich story, if you're in this world at all, then like this is why I expose you to it. Because you're like, oh, I hear people talking about the sandwich theory. The sandwich story. If you're not, then you're like, what the fuck is this? But either way, note that this crazy fucking model is being released, has been released. And it is just capable of so much, which brings us to the sandwich story, which apparently happened. And this is about this model. It said, during testing, Mythos escaped a secured sandbox computer it was contained in, figured out how to get internet access, and sent an email to the researcher running the evaluation, who was eating a sandwich in a park at the time. This is a story going around. Suffice to say that this is a super powerful, super capable model, and very much to me feels like one of those, just because you can make something doesn't mean that you should. I am happy that it's Anthropic that, you know, has released it, but from what I'm reading, typically Anthropic is only like 2 to 4 weeks ahead of OpenAI, which means that OpenAI, with the worst fucking guy ever, Sam Altman, at the lead, will be coming out with or releasing something like this, and we'll just turn it loose on the public because that is how he is. So, I don't know if that like sounds scary. I'm not intending it to sound scary, but like I just want all of you to be in the know. There is a very big, powerful model that has been created, and we will see what happens next with it. You know, what that means for you right now? Absolutely nothing, but as per always, I want my people in the know. So, last part last year, how I used AI this week. If you're new here, welcome. Each episode, I share a quick example of how I used AI that week. This week, I used Claude to do one of my favorite things. I had it build a Google Apps script to automate forwarding of the utility bills to Lex. I know it seems once again trivial and trite, but that is the point. That is how I love to use AI. That is how I believe AI should be used, not making these big behemoth, scary, super capable models. I'm like, how do I forward this email automatically? I don't have to go into my email. I don't have to check it. I want it to just go to her. How do I do that? So Lex and I split utilities, but the gas and the electric and the internet is in my name. The water is in her name, and she is good about emailing me the water bill. I, on the other hand, never do it. And it's fine with the internet because it stays the same, but the gas and the electric changes from month to month. And they're in my name simply because I set them up. That's it. But the amounts change. And so I forward her the bill and then she sends me the money. The only problem is that I always forget to forward the email. I forget to forward that bill. I know. And actually, you folks are my people. So my guess is that you get it. You're just like, yeah, it's the smallest thing. And you're just like, don't fucking do it. And then you're like, the last time I actually did it was November of last year. It's currently April. And the last time I actually forwarded it was November. Because I'm like, you know, I'll do it next week. I'll do it next week. And then suddenly it's been, you know, 6 months. So I hopped into Claude and had it whip up a script that I could run in Google Apps Script. And we did some troubleshooting and testing with it. And now those particular emails get forwarded to Lex. And I don't have to touch a single thing. It just forwarded automatically. I don't have to look at anything because I don't even go in. Part of the issue, I think, is that I don't see them. I have it get forwarded. Like I set up a script previously that it tags them and basically puts them in a folder. And then I was like, okay, I'll have it automatically do that. And then I'll go check that folder and it'll be easy for me to, you know, just forward them to Lex. But apparently that wasn't easy enough because it was still, I have to sign in. It's on a different email than I check all the time. So now it just does it on its own. Amazing. Like literally just amazing. I don't touch a single thing. So another fun use case, I've spoken about Google Apps Script before. If you don't know what it is, give it a little Google, check it out. It is a cool functionality. It's free and it's just a way to automate things and connect things and have processes run and be executed within the Google ecosystem, which is really, really cool to me. So that, my friends, is all for today. Hopefully you found this episode helpful. If you did, how about we circle back to the beginning of the episode and you consider leaving a rating or a review? We got 27. Let's hit 30. Can we do it? That's awesome. Like having rating, that's fucking awesome. So would love it. Just a little tappy tap, little stars if you're listening via Apple. I know people listen through a bunch of different stuff, but if you're listening on any, honestly, I'll take ratings and reviews anywhere. It's just that I only see them on Apple. But I'm grateful for it everywhere, right? Don't forget, I also have a companion newsletter, The Curious Companion, that drops every Thursday. That is basically the podcast episode in text format. So if you prefer to read or you just want a written record of things, join the newsletter fam. You can head to promptingcuriosity.com/newsletter, or you can check out the link in the show notes. As always, endlessly, endlessly, one more time, endlessly appreciative for every single one of you. Until we chat again next Thursday, stay curious.